talk about the fragrance of Christ. One of the things that I learned early in my marriage was there was a couple things that I would never buy Karen again. And one of them was clothing. Everything I bought, she took back. And then I tried perfume. And she wears one kind. And so I learned to just buy that one kind. It comes in such a big quantity that every 20 years, they don't sell it in little quantities. And so I don't mess with it. And so today we're going to be talking about the fragrance of Christ here today. Because believe it or not, whether you want it or not, you have a fragrance. You're giving off something. You have an odor. And if you're working with us here on Saturday, I don't know if I was smelling others or myself. I don't know. But we were working hard. We were sweating. And sorry, guys, if I stunk. But we do. We put off an odor. And so we're going to look at that here today. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation today. So if you're following me on the phone, you can kind of turn to the New Living Translation. It begins in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. It says, "Follow God's example in everything that you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love for others, following the example of Christ, who loved you and gave himself as a sacrifice to take away your sins. And God was pleased because that sacrifice was like a sweet perfume to him." That perfume also means fragrance here today. So as we go through this scripture here today, I want you to notice that my first two points here today are commands. And then as we follow those commands and do what he asks us to do here, Paul is not just suggesting something. He says this is something that must be taking place in our life, not just once and say we've done it, but it's a constant thing that is in our life. And so as we continually walk in that command, there is a fragrance that we will naturally put off for Jesus Christ. And so we're going to begin here with, as we begin, the first command that Paul talks about here is he says, follow God's example in everything. Man, that everything's a big thing, right? And that's kind of hard to do. So this command, if we look at it, follow God's example in everything, we'll see that it's sandwiched between two scriptures here. So if we would go and read a couple of scriptures before that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 and 32, it says, "And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you." So if you look at that, that's the scripture leading up to follow God's example. And after that, we read this scripture in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 3. "Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God." So, I know you know this, but God's standard of living is high. And that standard goes against our flesh, it goes against our human nature. And his standard is impossible, church. It is impossible to fulfill and live out without divine intervention. We need the help of the Lord. Peter wrote in his second book in chapter 1, verse 3, he said, "By his divine power, God has given us everything." Hallelujah. Didn't we say follow God's example in everything? So we read in this scripture, "By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to" what? "Know him, be in relationship with him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence." So the example we are called to follow is Jesus Christ himself. And that is a very high standard. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." Paul wrote this with great confidence. As I stand before you, would I be that confident? Should I be that confident? Could I be that confident here today? You know, there's parts of my life I would say, yes, follow me as I follow Christ. All of my life, I don't know. It should be the case that I can say as Paul wrote. But the truth is, if I went around this room and took a survey and began to ask you one by one here this morning, how confident would you be to repeat Paul's words here this morning? Follow my example as I follow the example of Jesus Christ. How many would say, that's me? And if you can, hallelujah, praise God. But most of us would probably make a little bit of an honest assessment and go, yeah, there's parts of my life that maybe you'd want to imitate, but there's other parts that maybe not so much. So we need to realize this morning that we are in a process, that we are a work in progress. How many would say that here today? And that we are in a transformational process. So today, as Paul is writing this, Paul is not saying, I'm perfect. I have arrived, because Paul said, even when he was ready to be killed, I have not arrived. I have not arrived. So we're not talking about perfection here, but what we're doing is we're inviting people to join us on a journey in following Jesus. We're asking people to come along with us. So we see this first command here, follow God's example in everything. And so this is the commandment, that we follow Christ and that we follow the example that he has set before us. So the second command that we read here is, he said, live a life filled with love for others. And I want to say that most of us find that pretty easy at times. But there are other times when it's not so easy. Because God has given us the ability to love people. In general, we love people. We like people in general. We want to love people. How many want to love people? All five of us. Amen. We want to love people, all right? But why do people make it so hard for us to love them? It's as if they're testing us or working to prove us wrong. Or if you have kids, you know that, right? People take us to the brink of our love at times, right? When we think we've arrived, God sends somebody new into our life and shows us we have a long way to go. Remember our example, Jesus Christ. Jesus is our example. Amen. Hallelujah. We reference it in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. How many know we need divine power to love people? Woo! God. Folks, that's a dangerous prayer to pray. Lord, give me a love for people. That is hard. I don't think love is really the issue that we face when we try to fulfill this commandment. It is more of a spiritual issue. Maybe it's more of a lack in our life. Paul wrote to the Galatian church in chapter 4, verse 19. He wrote this, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Paul said, I'm travailing, I'm interceding, I'm praying for the church at Galatia, because, folks, we need to be able to love people. And the only way we're going to be able to love people is if Christ Jesus is formed in us. He is our example. We follow him. So this was Paul's prayer for the Galatian church. But Paul also wrote in Galatians chapter 5, and you're very familiar with this scripture, it says by the Holy Spirit, he wants to produce this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and have crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, look what it says. Let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part, in everything, in our lives. And so as we look at this scripture here today, we know that love doesn't exist in a vacuum. It doesn't exist on its own. It's part of something bigger. It goes hand in hand with the rest of this fruit that we have read here in this scripture. Paul wrote something similar in Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. And the only time we read this is at weddings for some reason. I guess we're warning them that rough days are ahead. Amen. All right. How many know that love is blind? But after you're married, the blinders come off. Amen. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. So if we would take that word love and put Jesus in there, it makes sense, right? Jesus is patient. He is kind. Jesus is not jealous. He wasn't boastful. He wasn't proud. We can go and apply all those things. But sometimes we need to apply the Word of God to ourselves. So why don't you put your name in there? Are these the characteristics that are being demonstrated in your life? Tim is patient and kind. Ask my wife. Love is not jealous, right? Or rude, all right? Does not demand its own. Think about it. Think about your marriage. Think about your relationship. Think about your friendship. Think about your coworkers. All right? Think about your kids. All right? Put your name in there. Put it in there. People make it hard for us to love them. Get rid of people, we'd love everybody. Amen. But how many know we are commanded to do that? We are commanded to love people. Not just the people in the household of God, but everybody. It is a commandment. So we read here two commandments. Follow God's example in everything. Live a life filled with love for others. And if we do that, something's going to happen in our life. If we're achieving this, we're working towards that. Folks, I don't know if it'll ever be perfected in our lives. There's a lot of people in the world. But something is going to begin to happen in our life. And what we see in that scripture that we read in the beginning is that we are to give ourselves as a sweet-smelling sacrifice to God. So it is a result of the first two commands. If we walk in those first two commands, guess what? Something begins to take place in our life. We begin to put off a fragrance. We begin to put off an odor. Paul wrote to the Ephesians here in the scriptures, and he's saying here, because later he'll mention it, sacrifice is the opposite of greed. And he uses this in chapter 5. I read part of this. I'm going to continue to read a little more. It says, let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes. These are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. He goes on and says there in verse 5, you can be sure that no immoral, impure, or what? Greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. So we cannot be greedy and be one who sacrifices at the same time. It's impossible. Paul lays it out here, do this. He gave us those two commands. He says, and guess what? Something's going to happen. You're going to give off a fragrance. And then he goes on and lists these things. And said, guard against greed and selfishness. The Greek word for sacrifice, you can see the Greek word up there, describes one who is innocent of crime, shielding with his body the one who deserves the punishment. So if you can picture that, that Jesus stepping in front of you between that and punishment, that is what it means to sacrifice. Jesus gave himself as a sacrifice. How many know that? We understand that here this morning. And God was pleased because that sacrifice was like a sweet perfume to him. So it began with Christ. Christ was the sweet perfume that kind of led the way for us to walk in his footsteps. Sacrifice has to do with giving one's life to help another. Isn't that what sacrifice is? We are called to be, when we think of sacrifice, we're talking about Jesus' death here. But how many know that Jesus would prefer you to be a living sacrifice? We talk about martyrdom. We talk about giving our life for Christ. I would lay down my life. You know, what's more important is, would you live for him? It's not about dying, but living. And so what are some of the ways? Money. Hallelujah. Do we sacrifice by giving our money? How many know that's the fruit of our labor? It's while we make a living. That's what we depend upon. We've spent time making that. We earned that. But yet, it's an area of our life that he said, I want you to sacrifice. How many know that your time is valuable? How many know that when once time is spent, it's gone, just like your money? Amen? Time and money, once they're spent, it is gone forever. They're only a limited amount. And so it is a sacrifice when we, what? Serve and love other people. Our talents. Yes, God has blessed us. Are we using those talents, what, just to make a living? Just to make more money? Just to have more material things? Or are we using the talents that God has invested in us for the kingdom of God? Sacrifice has to do with giving one's life to help others. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, the Bible says, and this is the right perspective we are to have, work willingly as in whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. We're doing it for the Lord. So the sacrifices that were given to the Lord in the Old Testament involved all five senses. Think about it. As they became and offered their sacrifices, touch, sight, hearing, tasting, smell. It was, all the senses were involved in that. Why did God do it that way? So that it would be impactful. So that they would remember it. Folks, if we're here today, when you walk out these doors in a few moments, you're going to forget most of what I said here this morning. 99.9. Why? Because you're not using any senses. You're only using your eyes, ears. But if you begin to use all your senses, it would become more impactful. The New Living Translation uses the word perfume here in this scripture. And that word perfume means to smell. It means an odor. It means a scent, a fragrance. The King James says a savor. Okay? So we find this throughout the Bible. It's only in a few other scriptures. We see it when Mary took the scriptures there in John 12:3, when she anointed Jesus. And if that scripture, if you'll put that scripture up there, John 12:3, it says that the house was filled with what? A fragrance. Okay? Was everybody happy with what took place? No, they weren't happy. Jesus was happy. Jesus was pleased. But in this story, we see a Judas Iscariot, all right, is one who, what's he do? He kind of says something here in verse 4, okay? But if you read the other Gospels, you'll see it wasn't just Judas. So let's not be too hard on Judas, because there was other of the disciples that said, what a waste, what a waste. But we see that the house was filled with a fragrance. And so we see the same word in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And so it says there in chapter 2, verse 14, this is a military parade. When the Romans conquered a nation, they would have a parade to honor the general for being a victor, for being a conqueror. And it says, but thank God he has made us his captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere. Who? Us. Like a sweet perfume. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising to God. But this is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell. We stink, all right, of death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. Hallelujah. We don't know who out there is going to accept what we have to share, what we're living out. But to those who reject us, it stinks. But to those, it is a life-giving perfume. So, one last usage is found in New Testament in Philippians chapter 4:18. The Philippian church always sent offerings to Paul as he was in Macedonia. And you could read it there in the scripture. And he said, they are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. So, here I digress. Are you ready? That's the crutch of my sermon. Amen. I'm a dog person. I'm not a cat person. And we know that dogs can be kind of gross. How many know what dogs do when they see another dog? How do they greet one another? Right? They smell. And I don't know if you know why they smell the wrong end of the animal. But there is a gland that they're smelling that tells them everything they need to know about the other dog. Isn't that interesting? I don't know how they figure this out. I don't know how science figures this out, but I'll read you. It says, dogs smell one another to gain social information. They can determine the gender, the age, the diet, the health, and the mood of the other dog, as well as whether they are a stranger or have met before. Sniffing isn't limited to initial encounters. Dogs often sniff familiar dogs as a way to maintain social bonds and stay updated on each other's lives. Now you know the rest of the story. So, you know, as we're yanking the leash and trying to get them away from the other dog, you're ruining their life. They're ruining their fellowship. They're bonding. All right? So as God's people, we too are putting off an odor, a smell, a fragrance, a perfume, whatever you want to call it here this morning. How many know that people are constantly observing your life? They are critiquing you. They are judging you. They are weighing you in the balances. They are looking to see if you're the person who you think you are. Or maybe even what you say you are. They're checking you out. They are watching to see if you are an example of the believers, as we found in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Be an example to all believers, and I added a scripture here, and non-believers. Okay? How many know we're supposed to be example to non-believers? In what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. They observe how you get along with others. People are watching your life. They are watching to see if you play nice in the sandbox with the other kids. They are watching you. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about Daniel in the Bible. He was an incredible individual, a very godly individual. And, you know, people didn't like Daniel. That's hard to believe. He was a very godly man that when it came time to kind of get him out of the way, they couldn't find anything wrong. The only thing they could find wrong with him is he prayed. Wouldn't that be wonderful here today if the only thing we were guilty of in our lives is praying too much, reading the Bible too much, worshiping too much, loving people too much, serving people too much? Wouldn't that be lovely? Not a word. Some of you are nodding. Some of it's in sleep. Some of it's in agreement. People are watching our lives. They're watching how you get along with other people. They're watching your interaction. They're watching your behavior. They're hearing what you're saying. They're seeing your actions. They're observing your attitudes. They are critiquing you. John 13:35 says, your love for another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. What are people seeing in your life that would draw them to Jesus Christ? That would draw them and want to be part of a church? I've been in churches I wouldn't want to be part of. I served in a church where I was an associate. I wouldn't want to have been the pastor in that church. Nasty people. By being an example, if I could have a musician, please. By being an example and loving others. That was the two commands that we began with here today. And I want to tell you, that is a sacrifice. Those two things are not easy. They are a sacrifice. And if we decide to fulfill those two commandments to the best of our ability, with divine intervention, we will automatically, or we will naturally, begin to give off a fragrance of Christ in our lives. This morning, we don't have to put on artificial odor, smell, perfume. It comes automatically. The fragrance of Christ will naturally flow out of our lives. Some will be drawn to that fragrance. Some will be drawn to your life. Others will distance themselves from the fragrance and die. The fragrance of Christ, is it evident in your life? I believe we live in a world today it's needed more than ever. The problem is there are a lot of voices out there. And how many know our voice is just among the other voices? All proclaiming the truth, all proclaiming what's right, what's wrong. And sometimes our voice can't get through. But how many know that when you get into a room and there is an odor, nobody has to say anything? I don't know what this room is going to smell like next week after the new floor's in. I asked him if there was going to be an odor. He said, no, after a couple days, it's gone. I don't believe him. I believe when you walk in, there'll probably be an odor. There'll be a smell. There'll be a fragrance in this room that something took place in this room. If you paint the walls, there's a fragrance. If you put new carpeting down, there's a fragrance. So I believe if there's a new floor in here, there's going to be a fragrance. So sometimes we've got to get past the voices. Are you a fragrance for Jesus Christ? As I said, words, 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 words. People are blocking them out. They don't want to hear your words. They want you to hear their words. There's a lot of competition. So in the scripture, it tells us there's a different sense. If we can't get through with the voices, we're going to get through with the smell. And you are that smell. So you're either going to stink for Jesus, or you're going to smell good for Jesus. There is no other choice. Amen? Some will like a fragrance, and others will go, woo. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for the Word of God. We're so grateful that, Lord, it's not just straightforward. There's a lot of depths. There's a lot of facets to serving you. And, Lord, who would ever known, Lord, that we are a fragrance unto you. It's either a pleasing fragrance or it's a fragrance, Lord, that turns you off. But we're glad this morning that you just don't cast us out. But you told us how to be the people that we need to be. Not only to please you, but to share the good news with others. Lord, today we come before you and we know that we are to be an example of Jesus Christ, of God, in everything that we do. I pray, Father, that you will give us a supernatural love. That, Lord, when we encounter those unlovable people in our lives, Lord, that you just give us a supernatural endowment of your love. Lord, we win people by love, not by fighting. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's tough love. But, Lord, you've called us to love. And out of that obedience to you, Lord, we're going to be a delightful fragrance to some. Some that are hurting, some that are failing, some that are lives are a wreck, some that are ill, some that are disappointed, some are discouraged, some that are hurting, some that are bleeding, Lord. We're that fragrance of hope. We're that fragrance of peace. We're offering them an answer to the needs and the hurts in their life. But Lord, we also need to make the exception here, Lord, that not everybody wants what we have. You told us plainly, if they reject you, they're really rejecting me. And I pray that our representation of you does not cause people to reject you. But Lord, help us to be that light. Help us to be that salt. Help us to be that aroma unto you. How many would be honest this morning? How many could truly say, follow my example as I follow Christ's example? Let me just say it this way. How many wants to be that example? How many would truly say here this morning, I want to be that example that people follow, that they see Jesus in me this morning? Hallelujah. Folks, it's time to be the fragrance of Jesus in a world that stinks. It's dying. It's decaying. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray for the body of believers here today. I don't want you walking out of this house today with not making things right with Jesus. If you need to make things right with Jesus, do it now. Confess your sins. He's faithful. He's just to forgive you. Walk out clean today. Walk out today facing a new week with a new start. But maybe today, the second part of that altar call, this reckoning with ourselves is, are we doing everything that we can to be an example for Jesus? Are there areas of my life that need to come under the blood, that need to be taken care of, that need to change because they're deflecting people from Jesus instead of bringing them closer to Jesus? Lord, maybe today, Lord, we're struggling with some individuals in our life that we just can't stand to be around them. They press our buttons. I pray today, Father, that we could ask you, Lord, for the fruit of the Spirit, love, 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 Lord, to be part of our life here today. Hallelujah. Love that comes with joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Endow us one more time. Hallelujah. To not only live by the Spirit, but to follow and walk by the Spirit's leading today. Lord, our prayers, make us a fragrance unto you. Woo! Hallelujah. We want to draw people close to you. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, I pray that you use us. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Can you just give him praise as we close out here today? Lord, we just honor you today. Father, we rededicate our lives to you here this morning. If you sinned, confess it and move on, church. Move on this morning. But Lord, today we're asking God that we would follow those commands that Paul laid out for us here today. Because Lord, we want to be that fragrance, Lord. Hallelujah. We want people to smell us. Hallelujah. As we're walking in the door and walking out of the door. Hallelujah. Lord, we want people to know we're in the room. Hallelujah. And that we know Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Lord, use our lives. Use our lives. Hallelujah. And so, Lord, we just come to you today and we say, we love you. We love you, Jesus. And we're thankful. We're thankful that we know the truth. Lord, now we ask that you help us to walk in that truth. Hallelujah. Help us to give that truth away. We love you, Jesus. I pray a blessing upon your people today, Lord, as they go their way. I ask, Lord, that you would undertake for them. Lord, that you would be with them, that you would help them, that you would protect them, that you would heal them. Lord, you provide for them. But most of all, Lord, I ask that you would give us those opportunities to be a fragrance for you. Give us a strength and a boldness to speak out and give a reason for the hope that is in us. And we just give you the praise, we give you the glory, we give you the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah.